Papa and I are going to record, so y'all go ahead and shut the door.
Are they recording about naughty children in there?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you ever felt like you might be spanking too much? This week in our Vintage Answers series, Mike and Debbie offer some practical advice.
Okay, here's another letter. This one's kind of long. It says, Dear Mr. and Mrs. Pearl, I have recently read your newsletter for June and July, of which I am a new subscriber. Contained in the letter was an article named It's the Book's Fault. I read the article with great interest. I truly relate to the mother who wrote to you. I, too, am frustrated. Unfortunately, I could have written parts of the letter to you. When I read your response, I cried like a little child. I cried for my flops and my failures, and I cried for the other woman who wrote you. She must still be picking herself up off the floor. I read your book to train up a child, which I found very educational and full of wisdom. The woman also read your book. She has similar problems as I do. I have four children, ages 9, 7, 6, and 4, three boys and a girl in that order. They argue, fight over toys, get into things they shouldn't. They get into flour and daddy's tools and pens and markers and eggs and potatoes and you name it, they get into it. They still need to be spanked to go to sleep. They still throw an occasional fit. They have bad attitudes. And my 7-year-old is starting to lose control of his temper a lot. My daughter screams and pinches and scratches her 7-year-old and 6-year-old brothers. My 7 and 6-year-olds scream when they are going to get a whipping, or even they throw a fit. Yes, they get spanked for all these things, screaming or fit pitching, or sometimes I wonder if it makes any difference because they're not learning from all the spankings. They just keep doing all the things. My 9-year-old dawdles a lot, has trouble focusing on what I ask him to do. He says he forgets. I wonder, do I spank him for forgetting? It's a daily habit. Forgive me for being critical of my children, but I'd rather have the bad news come first so we can deal with it. I do love my family. I love my children dearly. I want to train them in the way they should go. And yes, I have my own vision of what I want my children to be like. And I don't want to blame your book. I had these problems before I read it. Some days are obviously are better than other days. Some days I just sit and cry. I do have a different twist in that my husband does not approve of spanking the children. He yells and yells and yells. Therefore, my spanking hours are limited. I'm even unsure of his salvation. I'm not a perfect Christian, but I'm not the same person I was 9 years ago when I first got saved. I do not have a role model to follow, and I'm not an outgoing personality. I have gone to our pastor for help, but he feels the kids are just bored. If only you could help me train, educate, and direct the children, or maybe direct me. But I know that's not possible. I guess I'm looking for specific answers to specific problems. How do I stop my 7-year-old from losing his temper and throwing a fit or smart-mouthing me? How do I stop a lot of these things? I know you can't answer all my questions, but I pray you can help me.
All right. That's a real... It almost seems impossible when you hear a letter like that. We get quite a few letters like that. It seems like just like the woman needs 1,000 answers to 1,000 problems, and to organize all the answers and to know what to do in each given situation, it seems to be an impossibility. But let me say this: if I could take your children in my home in 3 days, and they'd all be obedient, in 10 days they'd all be happy and cheerful and joyful, and they'd be no problem at all. So the problem here is really not one with the children. You know, it's not like you have bad kids. It's not like the kids are such a terror that they're an impossible situation. The problem, obviously, is with the entire structure of the family. The mother and the father's relationship is important in this. The mother's attitude is important. Obviously, the mother doesn't have an authority in this family. She's not in control. Sounds to me like she's close to nervous breakdown. And these are the kind of situations which create nervous breakdowns. And quite often divorces come out of homes like this. So it's a very urgent situation, one that needs attention right away. You need to look at the whole of what we've said in our books. When your pastor says that your children are probably just bored, we've said over and over again that one of the big problems in homes, especially homes where there's homeschooling, where the children are kept at home all day long, is boredom. And boys especially, by the time they get 6 or 7 years old, need to be outdoors. They need to be climbing and wrestling and working and playing hard, and they don't need to be cooped up with girls. They don't need to be put in a situation where they have to be quiet or where they have to be still. When boys need to be turned loose to be boys. And you take a lot of children of different ages and put them in a family. Why, if you were to take six or eight psychologists or 6 or 8 social workers and put them all in a room and make them stay all day long and just give them a few toys to play with and then tell them to be good and be sweet, why, by the end of the day, they'd be fighting, they'd be fussing. They'd be grouped in small groups, adversarial groups, and they'd be set one against the other. If you kept them there for weeks or months on end, then you'd have social problems. It's the same thing with children. You just can't cram children into a home and then try to order it so that there's quiet and order without giving them some outlet, some vent. So, yes, I think boredom's a big part of it. But there's certainly a lack of respect. There's a lack of authority in the home. The mother must assume some authority. She must have some dignity. She must have some joy. She must make a statement and then stand behind it. You just need to go back and look at the whole of what we've said and establish a relationship with your children that's one of love, one of imagination, one of expression, one of security, one of fun, one of joy, excitement about doing things, accomplishing things, doing things together. And in the midst of that, they won't have the time to stop and be rebellious and be angry towards one another. I would say this on the spanking. When spanking is not working, in other words, if you're employing the rod and you feel like you're doing it too much, you feel like it's ineffective, then probably you are doing it too much. If using the rod is ineffective, then don't just keep using it. In other words, if all you're doing is creating anger and resentment and you're upset, the children are upset, and then there are other elements involved. Spanking is not the whole. In other words, you can't throw the whole of child training or discipline into the spanking. If you're relying on that alone and other things are not equal, then it will not work, and it can become abusive. So back off and say, what am I missing here? Am I establishing fellowship with my children? Am I being consistent? If you're inconsistent, you'll spank your children too much. If you're inconsistent, then your children are not going to be learning. They're not going to develop any discipline or any consistent habits. They're going to continue their sloppy habits. And you'll spank them again and again and again for the same thing, for one reason. You are not consistent. So if the spanking is not working, ask yourself the question, what am I doing wrong? What other elements am I missing?
One point that you might try, that we get a lot of letters from parents that say every evening when the children are put to bed, they put on our tapes, No Greater Joy, the volume set of tapes, and the children enjoy listening to stories about other children and how the discipline made them a better child. And the parents say it's amazing how it affects their own children. Their own children get a certain pride in being a better child after listening to the other, how bad the other children are. They don't want to be like the other children. So that's an idea, too, to start training them.
Yes, we get letters from people, and we've talked with individuals where they said that their own children, 7, 8, 9 years old, begin to assume some authority in the home over the younger children, or even over their peers, siblings that are older. In other words, they will say to Mama, Mama, he's doing this or that. Don't you think that he needs a spanking? Or Mama, she's doing this or that. Don't you think needs to do? And then the child will quote something from our book and refer the mother to it. So children are pretty sharp, and they're pretty keen. They're good psychologists, and they will make some observations about their own behavior and the behavior of others around them, and they will appreciate what you're doing then. They will understand why you're doing it. They will see the necessity of it, and they will even remind you sometime when they have been disobedient of some of the principles or guidelines, and they will develop insights. So it's really valuable to include your children, if not in listening to our tapes, then in discussions about the why and wherefore. When our children were younger, especially, we went through the book of Proverbs with them, and we'd let them read verses, and we would discuss wisdom, and they developed a lot of insight into what God required, of what was ideal in our relationship to our fellow man, in our relationship to each other in the family. So nurture your children and train them with admonition, whatever tool that might require, whether it's scripture or listening to our tapes or discussions or some material you get somewhere else.
Thanks for listening. I hope it blesses your day. Don't forget to check out Cane Creek Corner for this week's specials.